Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Ulysses Butch Slaughter here. This is Sex and the Struggle. I got my brother David Freeman here with me. What's up, Dave?
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, man. We're going to have an incredible guest with us this evening. We got my sister girl, Kelly Van Diver, joining us this evening.
All right.
I posted some stuff on my Facebook page. I posted some stuff on Sex and the Struggle page. People need to check out Kelly. She is, and she'll appreciate me putting it this way. She's the shit. When I say the shit, she is that woman. She runs something called Greenleaf Day Spa. Greenleaf Day Spa. People need to check out Greenleaf Day Spa. She's going to be joining us shortly, man. Before we get to her, she's going to be calling soon. I want to know, man, how was that retreat? How was that retreat this week?
Oh, that retreat was amazing. I mean, it really opened up and showed me what's possible. Each retreat that we've done up to this point, we put together a plan and we walk into it and just, new stuff just opens up. And it really gave me a chance to see and feel that all the work that we're doing is not just about me. There's something out there. There's something that needs to come through. And people need this. People need, there's trauma, there's healing that needs to take place. And this work is doing that. And it's not because I've figured out a formula and I'm able to bring that through. It's just you start these practices and things just start opening up for you.
I got to tell you, I'm playing with Kelly on my phone right now. So while you and I are talking, she and I are going back and forth on Messenger. I said she the shit, and she says, yes, I am the shit. So we are on another another line. She is so funny to me, man. She cracks me up. She is not the shit. She invented the shit. So I'm going to give her that, too. So anybody want to know where the term the shit came from? It is her. She's the woman, man, who the I would say the type of woman. She is a woman who I trust in a deep way. And so, when we talk about doing retreats, when we talk about, people ask me a lot of times about organizations that I've been with, groups that I've been with, people that I know. People are always looking to be able to trust people in this environment, Dave. You can't go on a retreat with somebody you don't trust. You can't be engaged deeply and full of surrender if you don't trust. Now, that could be a company or that could be an individual. And I'm sure Kelly is going to speak to some of this. In relationships, you got to be able to trust. You got to be able to surrender. You got to be able to trust because when you open up without fear, that's when the growth happens. Now, I know that, we've heard that phrase that, change happens in uncomfortable situations. You want to get out of your comfort zone. I trust that, but you want to be able to trust that you can get out of your comfort zone. When you come out,
that's not
trying to be harmed when you come out of your comfort zone. And Kelly is one of those people. If somebody asks me, okay, name three or four women who you trust that you would send to get for people to get advice on relationships, sex, and intimacy, she would definitely be in the top five and in no particular order. She might be number one.
Mm-hmm.
She might be, number two. She going to be in that top five. I'm going to say call up Kelly, and I'm going to say call up Tazim, and I'm going to say call up Frenchie. I'm going to say call up Betsy Crane. I'm going to name some people, and I want people to know these are people that, without flinching, I trust, and I am proud to have one of them on the line. We're going to bring her on in just a moment. So just tell me a little bit more about this retreat, man. So you went where this time around? You're always going to some nice remote location. Where did you go this time?
Yeah, so this time we were in Sebasco, Maine. This was our fourth retreat. We've had 2-week-long retreats in Costa Rica, and each one has a theme. These are advanced practice retreats. And this retreat just centered on healing. And it was just, we had an interesting group this time because often we have people who are practice in either some sort of sexuality, mindness practices. In this case, although they were all practitioners, they were all fairly new. So all of this, the healing and the breakthroughs that were to come through this weekend, they weren't really expecting those. So there was a lot, you know, we're in the middle of sexual practices and learning what touch feels like. And then there's lots of crying and then really connecting with where there's trauma and where there's pain and you know, conditioning has a stuck. So that felt really good to me to hold a group like that and to be able to show them what's possible. And the feedback I received was tremendous. One person today asked, you know, would you consider doing a 1 week retreat? And I said, sure, we've done one every year. Why not continue?
Right.
was just the feedback has been amazing. We had people who are working with, you know, broken relationships and trying to put themselves back together. And there's a lot of pain there. There's a lot of conditioning that causes us to shut ourselves out when that happens.
Yeah.
And, you know, we think that we don't deserve touch. And so we go to that place where we just isolate. And after a while, we start to realize it's been a long time since I've allowed myself just to recognize that not only that I need touch, but someone else needs touch, and I can help them.
Right. Yeah, man. I think
you
make some incredible
stuck
points.
In that space.
Incredible points, Dave. I was doing an interview today with a dear friend of mine in the Philadelphia area at iHeartRadio, the local iHeartRadio outlet. She opened up the show. This is a woman I've known for 20 years. We both of us doing journalism, public relations for 20 years in our relationship. And she opened up the segment where we were talking about Sex and the Struggle. By the way, for those of you that don't know it, Sex and the Struggle is less than 2 weeks away. It's happening September 16th, 2017, MJ Free Theater, Chester, Pennsylvania, about 15 miles outside of Philadelphia. The cast of collaborators continues to grow. I'll get into more of that a little later, but was hyping that up today. By the way, if you want tickets, if you're in the area, you want to go to Eventbrite, get tickets at Eventbrite, Sex in the Struggle, let's get it on. So my friend who is hosting this show, she opens up to our audience talking about Sex in the Struggle by saying, we're going to talk about something that's not that easy to talk about for a lot of people. And when she said that, she looked up at me and both of us kind of like shrugged our shoulders. Cause it's, you know, Dave, I'm thinking, God damn, man, we've been human for a long time. When are we going to be able to talk about sex? God damn. Are you kidding me? Dave, I mean,
yeah,
that shit is ludicrous, Dave. I mean, right. I just have to say this one more time because I want Kelly, when she comes in, I want Kelly to speak to this, and I know she will. It's difficult to talk about. You know how many babies been had on this planet? How much fucking been going on? How much
That's
sex?
Right,
how
yeah.
much touching? How many? Oh, my God. How many blowjobs? How many clits have been licked? How many? I mean, somebody might say, oh, man, you're getting awfully raunchy. I'm like, look, y'all don't seem to be able to take it no matter how I put it out. So ain't no sense in me, you know, trying to paint a pretty picture here. When
That's right. And you know what?
Fucking grow up, man.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, when people start looking at caring for themselves sexually, the way that they go to get a pedicure, the way that they get their fingernails done, the way they go to get a massage, and just – that they can talk about it like that. And I don't necessarily mean you have to pay somebody to touch you, but it doesn't, you know, these are things that everybody needs. Everybody has the ability to participate in. And we won't do that. We can't do that until we start talking about it.
And this is what I'm hoping we'll do with Sex and the Struggle. And I'm trying to tease Kelly in. I'm going to make her wait for at least 10 more seconds because I need her to come in tearing this shit up. I cannot understand for the life of me. I'm talking to a fellow journalist. I know you hear me, Kelly. Dave, I'm talking to a fellow journalist, and I'm like, look, what do you mean sex is hard to talk about? Now, this is also, with all due respect, this is iHeartRadio, and how can I put this? They play provocative music. They play all kind of stuff that talks about sex. So it's not difficult for the people that they play in these songs to talk about it. They talk about all kind of stuff. They talk about whatever the FCC will allow them to talk about and get away with it. And if you go over to XM Radio and Sirius, you'll get even more. But it's like, what do you mean it's hard to talk about? Who's having a problem talking about this? All right, enough. I can't keep my girl on hold much longer after that. you got to come on in, Kelly. What's up, Kelly?
Can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Hi, Kelly. How are you?
Hey, guys. Am I too quiet?
We know you ain't gonna stay that way. You good. You ain't off the charts
okay.
yet. You go right ahead.
Well, thank you for popping my blog talk radio cherry, guys. I have not been on this platform yet, and so thank you very much. So yeah, I was listening to you there, and I was getting fired up and excited, and yeah.
Lots Kelly, when are we going to start talking about it? When are we going to be okay talking about sex, Kelly? What has to happen? Tell us.
I guess I have to, like, have the talk show, right? The round table where it's Kelly's show, and then we're all talking about it, like, on live fucking television, having the conversation openly.
I think that's what's going to, you know, I got to tell y'all, don't fuck with my stuff now. I'm warning
serious.
Both of y'all. No, but wait, I'm telling you, I've been thinking about a radio station called WSCX. Now, it might be out there already.
Oh, I love it.
But I'm thinking WSCX, all sex all day, kind of like CNN, all sex all day. And I was thinking maybe like ESPN, they do sports. Everybody can talk about sports. Everybody talk about Donald Trump. Everybody talk about all this bullshit. As soon as we say sex, everybody's like, well, that's not appropriate. Oh, but talking about dropping bombs and killing people, that's appropriate. Talking about war is appropriate. Talking about, you know, the hate, that's appropriate. But we can't talk about sex. Let's talk about hate. It's cool to talk about hate. But let's not talk about sex.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, And you guys know this, these are societal constructs, right? So we can go back and we can talk about, you know, we're still in this very, like, old paradigm. And, you know, it's part of the patriarchy and all those concepts that maybe people who are listening understand or maybe they don't, and all of that's fine. But at the end of the day, the construct of sex being shameful and emotionality around sexuality being like a taboo thing, it's bad, it's shameful, it's whorish, don't talk about it, especially for women to talk about it. And just to have an open discussion about it in general is like very, it's shameful, it's not appropriate. And this is cultural programming. I mean, it's the way that it is. So there's so much around the realm of sexuality that, like, sex is in the struggle, literally, right?
Yes, it is. Yep.
It's in the struggle. Sex is in the struggle. And so it's never been given its proper due. And yeah, keep being raunchy.
Damn, you know what, Kelly? I hadn't even thought about it the way that you just got through saying it there, Kelly. I mean, sex is literally in the struggle. It is in the struggle.
Yeah.
And so, in of itself, it is a struggle. You're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
I knew you were going to come on here and just blow this thing up, Kelly, already. And you ain't even loud yet. I mean, you just come in here all whispering and stuff and still being smart. And
I know. I really like what you said. I asked my husband earlier, I was like, babe, should I go smoke some weed real quick just to kind of come out of business mode? Should I do that? He's like, just a little bit. Just not much, you know.
Just a couple of toots. Just depends on where you got it from. Just a couple of toots and you'd be good.
I really
like
what you said about shameful and how You know, there's a lot of shame attached with you know, to all of our ideas about our own sex, shame about our bodies, shame about, you know, our stamina, shame about whether we can really bring it. There's a lot of shame about anything when it comes to discussions about sex. And I think by saying it that way, it sort of brings to my mind the thought that, you know, one of the strongest weapons to combat shame is empathy. You know, as we start talking about it, we find out that we're not the only ones who feel this way. We're not the only ones who were brought up this way. We're not the only ones who were taught this. And we start to understand that together, you know, the shamefulness just falls away.
And, Dave, this is why it's so important to organize around this, man, which is why I'm so glad that Kelly said that you, Kelly, were a yes to this, because we need to raise our voices in a particular way. I say that it needs to be the educators, the artists, the activists, the everyday people. We need to raise our voices in support of sex. And I want to be very clear, as I said to my friend this afternoon, I'm not talking about sex, you know, in trauma or sex in some kind of bad thing. I'm talking about sex as pleasure.
Right.
I keep saying to people, I'm not running from pain. I'm running to pleasure. These are two entirely different things. Some people will use sex as an escape. I'm using it as my destiny. Two entirely different things. I want people to know who Kelly is. Take it from the top, sister. Talk to us about Kelly.
Oh, gosh. Take it from the top. Shit.
Oh, from the bottom. You know, you can start
where
you want to go.
The bottom. God, which one do I choose? Yeah. So everything you just said is so important. And I don't know where to start other than to say, I think that where we stand right now as men and women is we've never been in this place before together. And it's so important right now for women to understand their power and the power that they hold right now at this particular time in the universe. And then it's so important too, like for men to get and to understand sort of their role also, which is like right alongside us as women. Can I speak to that, or is that too much of like a...
No, you speak to whatever you want to. You are our guest and the house is yours, sister.
Oh gosh. Okay. So yeah. So I feel like as men here, like supporting the feminine, right? And for women to feel really safe to first step into, not sort of, but step into their power, into the fullness of their bodies, their sexuality, their voices. And that is such a struggle for women to own their sexuality and own their beingness. And that's what I work with women around the most. And for women to, in order for women to feel safe to do that and really feel comfortable to do that, like what you were talking about earlier, you listened to the trust and being able to trust. And so I see men's place right now in this quote unquote struggle where sex sort of lives right now. It's really the job of men to flock alongside women and encourage them to speak and to talk and to own and to begin to own and put into practice learning how to even own, like, and what does it even mean to like own your body, own your voice, own your sexuality? Like they're all one and the same. And so, yeah, I love the idea of men coming in and playing that like grounding, like supportive, like role. And there are so many roles in this transition between men and women that now are like, it's like there's some confusion. And it's like, I feel like it looks like you're at like this fucking four-way stoplight and everyone's confused. The men are confused. The women are confused. And like, it's just this communication fuckdom. But like, we're right there at this place where if we can just stop and fucking look at one another and talk to one another and get an understanding for where one another are at, which is why I feel like these conversations that we're having, this conversation and that we're having tonight is so important, because I feel like that is sort of where men and women are at. There are roles that are like different now than there were 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. And roles that are, they're either like they're the same or they're overlapping. And there are new rules to relationship now too. So anyway,
right.
I just said a lot
right
there.
You did. And all of it was, as expected, juicy, relevant, and profound. And one of the things that I want our listeners to know is that you are not, as much as you look like you're a 19-year-old college student, you are not. You are actually a 20-year-old college student, and you happen to be married. You're a mom. You are a businesswoman. So there are people out there, and by the way, she's not a 20-year-old college student, folks. Let me just clear that shit up right now. She is at least 22.
I'm going to be 40 this year.
What?
Wow.
I'm just kidding.
Well
I'm
done.
Kidding. I know.
What? You are not. Anyway, Kelly, tell people, see the people out there listening who think that only certain people can think the way you think and talk the way you talk. Kelly, you got responsibilities. Tell us about the empire of Kelly. Sometimes you and I are texting or communicating and you're like, hang on a minute, I'm chasing children, or hang on a minute, I gotta make my husband dinner. I mean, hang on, I got life going on. So you're able to be Kelly in everything you do. Talk to us about who Kelly is as that everyday profound woman.
Okay. Well, I start off every day being a mom. So I get up at the butt crack of dawn, get kids up, get them fed, get them out the door, and then hopefully lay the fuck back down and meditate for at least 30 minutes before starting my day. And I start my work, and a few hours later, I'm doing some other kind of work, either probably with a client one-on-one. Then I'm probably getting ready to like get the kids back home and feed them and entertain them and do them. And then somewhere in there, after they hit the hay, I'm like making time for my husband and we're having meaningful conversation or meaningful sex. And or both.
Can you back up for a minute there? Can you? No, Kelly, slow down.
Uh-huh.
You're having meaningful conversation or what?
And
no,
or
just,
sex.
Now, I just need you to stop there for just a second, because, again,
okay,
for people who are listening, they're like, we don't need to know all her business. Kelly, why is it important for that to be expressed by you? Why do you say stuff like that? I mean, we're on Blog Talk Radio. By the way, my sister Tazima has joined us. What's up, Tazima?
Hey, girl. What's going on?
Hey.
Right on.
In
okay,
the house,
so
I am.
You heard what she just said, Tazima, and I'm just pausing right there because this is another one of those other women, one of the top five women, Tazima Davis, who I would say if somebody asked me about a woman that they should talk to, Tazima is right up there. Why, Kelly, would you say that? Why is that important for people to understand about you?
About the sex that I have in a day.
Yeah, I mean, so like you said
about,
that you talked
like
about conversation
and
about
as a wife. Yeah, because that's the most important fucking topic, because that is what fuels you as a human being and as a woman, as a mother, as a business owner. Like your sexuality is what will fill you up, like sexual healing, right? There's a song, y'all know the fucking song. Why has it been perpetuated for so many thousands of years because it's the truth, right? So, you know, women, right, just the clitoris alone, but not only the clitoris, but the whole pussy, right? Like all the caverns and spots and G-spots and cervical spots and squirting orgasms and just all the energy and the action that can be had just in that chakra of your body, it's enough to like fuel you and fill you up for like days. Like, what if you could just get like a touch of that every day, every other day? And that it, for a woman, those, that area and all of the specific points and nerve endings in that area are directly connected with every single hormone producing organ in your body as a woman. Right. And when that area is not touched or stroked or filled or fueled, it affects your body in physical ways. And it sets up disease in more ways than one.
Absolutely wonderful. Wonderful. I only wanted to pause there. If you want to continue to go, I know right now I got two of my favorite women in the world, two of the favorite women in my life on this call right now. And when I listen to you, Kelly, when I listen to you, Tazima, I think of my daughters and I think of liberation. And I want my daughters to be liberated. I want them to be free. I want them to be fully loving. I want them to be fully actualized, and sex is part of that actualization. So please,
absolutely,
Kelly, continue.
Yeah, and totally. I have three daughters out of the seven children that I have given birth to. I have three daughters, and it's so important for them to understand their own sexuality and sensuality and their relationships to themselves in that way, because at the end of the day, like when I'm no longer here, I want them to be able to go back to that as their center and like remember like all the lessons that mama taught you around that and your relationship to that. And now as a mama also to four boys who that's a whole different beast right there. They really need just as much of an education around their sexuality as the girls do. So I have my job cut out for me for sure. Any valuable tips you guys can give me on that, coming from the mature masculine perspective?
Wait a second. Before they get in, I want to co-sign on this whole sexual stimulation and the feeding and the nourishment of women through our sexuality. So I really need to like piggyback on your statement, sister, because I really want to make sure that number one, another thing is said, and that is pleasure. Women are made of pleasure. Our skin is physically thinner. You know, I got to bring the science. I'm bringing the science, y'all. So
bring the science.
Our skin is thinner. We're more sensitive. We have 8,000 nerve endings. One spot on our clitoris. That's not even the whole clitoris. We have nearly as much erectile tissue, and in some cases, more erectile tissue on the inside of our body than in a penis. It's, by the way, it's the same material. It's just the hormones before we're born in the womb, the hormones differentiate whether that erectile tissue will be on the outside of our body or on the inside of the body. When we have erections, it takes 20 to 30 minutes of direct stimulation for our full erection to come on. And once it's on, please understand, know and believe that we are on fire. We are activated. We are bringing the truth. We are bringing the everything. We are bringing the pleasure. And drink up. Get your cup, people, whoever's around, because we are overflowing. And it's super important that we know that pleasure is not only to be witnessed by other people, but it's for us to have our own nectar, for us to drink from our own cup. It feels really good to be turned on. If I'm not turned on, I know it's time for me to fill up. I know it's time for me to get turned on. And I might have help for that. I might not have help for that. I might do it myself. But for sure, it's bringing my attention to what I need at that moment. Also, energetically, there's two pieces. One of my good friends, her name is Yoli. She's here in town. We grew up in Evanston. It's my ace. We used to live down the street from each other. She spent 12 years studying with some gurus, some tantra, real tantra in India. And she shared with me a couple of things. What you had mentioned a little earlier, the chakras. So our chakras, the first and second chakras, are extremely close, if not in the same place. So men's first chakra is a little bit lower because their genitals are on the outside, but ours are together. So we have not only the physical pleasure of sex, but the relational and emotional pleasure of sex and the sensual pleasure of sex right next to each other / co-located. Okay. The other piece I want to share with you is, remember those 8,000 nerve endings in the clitoris? Guess what they're connected to? We have an energy nadi that goes from the clitoris directly to the heart. So our sex absolutely for certain is connected to our emotions. Also, the nerve endings that are connected in our genitals run up through our brains and then back down into our bellies and into our cords.
Exactly.
So just know, like, if we're getting crazy, we just need some loving and pleasure. Okay. So like for the brothers who are out there, people who love women, you don't know what's happening with a woman. She's pissed off. She's angry. She's hard to handle. You don't know what's happening with her. Check in whether she's having pleasure. Okay.
I think that's very
out. Huge.
I think that's a very important point that you're making. And that also talks to why it's so important to do this as a study. You know, we talk about practices all the time. And Kelly, we haven't met, but I know who you are. And I often say to Tazima, Ulysses, and to Frenchie when they're on that, you know, all of this work that we're talking about right now, all of this is brand new to me. I was, you know, completely in my head with the, you know, I'm an engineer. I do things at work that don't allow me to drop into my body and feel things. But then I started discovering this. And what has opened up for me is that all of this for me is about practice. And so it, as you're pointing out, Tazima, is very important as a man to learn everything you can about the pussy, learn everything you can about the woman's body. So you can feel when you touch her pussy, when you stroke the inside of her yoni, you can feel that connection to her heart, and you know exactly, you know, what you can feel what's going on there. And you can also start to sense and get a feel for when you hit a spot that there's something going on. There's some kind of contraction there. There's some kind of thing that she's holding on to that she can't relax into.
Oh, yeah.
And you start practicing and, you know, go through these mindfulness practices, these conscious sexuality practices, and you start noticing these things. And just like, seated meditation gives you insight into your own body, these other types of practices that we're talking about will give you insight into your partner's body. And you can see and feel all of that.
I'm about to hang up because I think I've reached my wit's end with all this. I'm like, you know what, y'all, this is the abbreviated version of Sex and the Struggle, because I'm struggling right now. And
why, you gotta get a release or something?
I think I hear my name being called, Kelly. Somebody's body is calling me. I'm on my R. Kelly thing. By the way, if you're just tuning in, my name is Ulysses Butch Slaughter. I got my brother David Freeman with us. Tazima, as always, Tazima Davidson. We have our wonderful, wonderful guest, Kelly Van Diver. Kelly, first of all, you ain't going to be able to do this once. Let me just be real clear about that. We're halfway through this. It's 9:34 in the Eastern Standard Time. You ain't going to get away with doing one of these. There's going to be a Kelly part two and probably a part 12, kind of like the, you know, Friday the 13th movies where dude just won't die.
No problem.
We're going to keep you coming back. You have a very interesting story. You didn't just become a maven, mama maven, spapreneur. You run a spa. This didn't happen overnight. You, like many of us, you have a story. You had to go through some stuff to become who you are. And again, there are women out there that will listen to you, to Zima, and think, you know, they just got it like that. They were born like that. They didn't struggle. Tell us about Kelly coming through what Kelly came through to get to where she is now and being the badass woman that we all know and love.
Well, I was a teenage mom. I started there-ish, and I was dead set on raising my kids and being there for them. I started my business when I was 21 years old. And I started a day spa back then. I had just graduated from massage therapy school, aesthetic school, and I wanted my own place. I am really pretty unemployable and come from a long line of entrepreneurs. And so I opened my spa and, I just have been running my own businesses ever since then. And about 9 years ago, I found myself pregnant. And pregnant with my last son, and my ex-husband started becoming physically violent and sort of started his tailspin of crazy, and he's sort of undiagnosed schizophrenia type thing. And I know there are many women out there who are married to men with, you know, mental illness and things like that, depression and other issues. And so I was in the middle of that and I couldn't do it anymore and decided to leave. And that led to a nasty divorce and that led to a big business split. And so it was after that shit where my life sort of burned down to the ground and I had to start all over again. I really had to go inward and figure out, okay, first of all, how did I attract this toxic person into my life? Why did I settle for this level of toxicity? Why did I choose it? What's going on with me that, you know, what was I bringing to the table in this shitstorm? So I went into therapy. I hired mentors. I hired coaches. I worked with the best. And about a year after that, I sort of rose from the ashes of all that bullshit and emerged a really different woman. And I very quickly met my now husband, who's fucking amazing and who really, God, he inspires me to just be the most out there version of myself ever. And so I couldn't ask for a better partner. And so, I was a single mom for a little while. So I went through a whole lot of life shit. And a lot of women are going through life shit. And a lot of women, like I was, are very disconnected from their bodies. They live solely in their minds. And so, you know, a lot of women, most women, the women I work with and see on a daily basis, they live in their minds. They can be having sex with their husbands. And I can't tell you how many women say during sex, they're looking up at the ceiling going, beige. I think I want to paint the ceiling beige. So these women can literally, and you laugh, right? Because it's fucking funny, but it's sad as fuck too, because this is the reality, right? And so these women are disconnected from their bodies. And so they can be having sex, but they're not getting any emotional healing, any sexual healing, because I believe everything is intention, right? So, you know, you can be having sex and you can be there in the moment, but you're not really there. Does that make sense? And so,
absolutely.
And so then going back to, you know, what you were talking about a little earlier, is it Brian Freeman? Who?
David.
Other guy. David. Okay. Yeah, David, you know, when you're talking about really tuning into the woman's energy, most women are fucking tense. Right? Like, especially if it's kids or they've been working all day, right? And so, like, it takes a while to come down from all that. And so with, you know, with your woman, it's so important to like tap into her energy. And if you can't fucking figure it out, just understand she's probably tense and just fucking massage her ass for like a good 20, 30 minutes. And like, she will do whatever the fuck you want. And she will be in a much better state of relaxation and of receiving, being in the receiving mode, and then getting into being turned on and tapped in and in that mode of total surrender and trust, right? Mm-hmm. And so, yes,
absolutely,
that is the man's job. Relax her, yeah, relax her, relax her, so she can then become connected with her sexuality, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And I would actually add on to that to follow up and really emphasize the point here is that relaxation comes from being penetrated. And I love that you mentioned specifically to massage her for a little while,
yes,
please. Give her some 20, 30 minutes. And part of it is that we're gatherers. Men are hunters. Like, they do shit and they get that shit done and it's over. We have been gathering our whole day or our whole week or our whole month or our whole life, okay? So
our whole
we got
life.
A lot of shit, our whole life. We are concerned about many, many, many things. And what happens in those moments where a man or our partner, whomever it is, has enough foresight or insight into where we are to stay with us, to penetrate that space, to allow us to feel them and be in a place where we don't have to hold it all together,
mm-hmm,
we might start crying, we might have a release, we might start laughing, we might collapse, we might, you know,
mm-hmm,
all kinds of things may happen. I had my partner, he's really wonderful. I noticed that there were these two different nights that we had sex sort of like close, you know, about the same time. And I was like, hey, I noticed you were doing some different things. And he was like, yeah, you're different. And I was like, oh. So, and you know, like, this man is not he's not a tantra dude. I mean, he's focused enough to know that I need something different on a different day. And I really, really appreciate that. And part of the reason that he knows that about me is because I let myself be penetrated by him. I let myself be known by him. So it's not just the guy's job to, like, calm us down. It's our job to like, let him in. You know, let your partner in. Let them in. Let them soothe you. Let them offer something. Receive from them. That's our job as women, to receive the nourishment, and then as we receive, we can give from the overflow. We can. You don't have to give on empty, and that's one point that is afflicting so many women, especially in America, where we're giving on empty. It's our puritanical roots here. Work, 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 and then some people got the Catholic guilt on top of that, and you just got to let yourself, one, receive, and two, start giving from the overflow once you let yourself be penetrated. So it's all a practice, right, Dave Freeman?
It's all definitely
it's all a practice.
If we keep talking about it, people are going to get it.
Yeah,
but you know, both of you are making a point. And Kelly, I wonder, you were talking about painting the ceilings beige, and that whole thing of being someplace else. Tazima, you made the point of, you know, the being present. You talk about that a lot, Dave. We all talk about that a lot. Kelly, when you're talking to women about being present, do you have like rituals, practices, some kind of exercises that they can do to stay present to what they want? Because, you know, when you and I were talking about you coming and doing this, we were talking about talking, speaking for what you want. How do you get women to speak for what they want? How do you get men to listen to what women want? What do you do there, Kelly?
You say what the fuck is on your mind, and you're honest and open and truthful, and you allow yourself to fucking embody what you really like desire from the person across the table from you or in the relationship with you. It's being that version of yourself and not like the hurt little child subconscious mind version of yourself, but like the adult version of yourself who is open and vulnerable and just is telling it like it is and requiring that same thing from your partner. Like it's a must have, like it's a non-negotiable, like this is who I am. This is what I want. This is what I will have. And you need to be the same way. I mean, just no bullshit. Total vulnerability. Dropping the walls, dropping the stories, dropping the victim mindset.
Again, for people who are just tuning in, if you're just tuning in, this is Sex and the Struggle. We do this every Tuesday night. We're going to start doing this probably 7 days a week because we want, just like the news, CNN and ESPN, we want all sex all the time. So we're going to get this whole 24-hour
all sex
day
all the time.
Going. All sex all the time. You're going to be able to tune in and you're going to hear somebody talking about sex on Sex and the Struggle 24 hours a day. And we might even upload some video at some point. Just hang on for that part.
Oh boy.
Yeah. We're
not doing penis shots. No penis shots.
No penis shots.
We're off the wheel.
No dick pics.
Scratch that part.
Not right now. Hey, don't do that. We'll find a way.
I know, you know, we're just getting started here, but I'm telling you, the conversation is so important. We have to get to the point where we are talking about this. We got to be running in pace with all that other shit that people are talking about. I think we need to build the community of people who are going to be talking about this and making space for this. And speaking of community, Kelly, you are building a community. You've got a community of women that you serve. I'm going to use this word, and I hope you'll understand the spirit of it. What is the ideal type of woman that you might serve? And I know you serve men, too, so tell us about the people that you serve. Who are they more likely to be?
So mostly I do women, serve women, and I serve a lot of mompreneurs, a lot of online mompreneurs, meaning, you know, online entrepreneurs, they're moms. A lot of them are wives, and they're trying to figure out how to balance all of those roles and stay married, right? Because most of them want to stay married and want to figure out how to make that work and happen. And because a lot of them are in the struggle with sex, and they won't open up and talk about it and have a really open, honest, constantly dripping dialogue with their partners around sexuality. So if you can't talk about the most natural thing that there is, you're going to have issues with talking about really anything else in your relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and then I also work with a lot of women who are in between relationships. So maybe they're, you know, going through a divorce, or maybe they're divorced and they're single moms now. I've worked with a lot of moms. A lot of entrepreneurs who are moms.
Hey, Kelly, I just had a thought. I'm curious as to how you address this. We talk about this sometimes on Sex and the Struggle. You just mentioned that you deal with single moms, right?
Mm-hmm.
And single in a transitionary kind of way. So maybe they want to be moving toward a relationship or marriage. Maybe they don't want, maybe they just want to be single. You know, some people just want to be single, and that's okay too. So how do you talk about negotiating what you want from the standpoint of being a single person as a mom in particular, because that to some people seems to be a different area of consideration. When you're talking about getting the sex you want as a single mom, there's like this moral kind of thing that gets dropped in there. That if you ain't with, you know, if you ain't in a committed relationship, you want to wait till you're in a committed relationship. How do you deal with that tricky spot?
Yeah. See, I'm like the wrong person to ask. So like after my divorces, I've been married. I'm in my third marriage. I got married as a teenager and then that only lasted for like a year or so. And then got married a couple years after that. But so after my divorces, I was like having the most fun ever. Like I played as much as possible with as many fucking men that I found interesting as possible and never really felt bad about it or guilty about it or shameful about it. And I highly recommend it. Right. And so, like, of course, I was responsible about it. Like, I made sure the kids were taken care of, or like maybe they were their grandparents or their dad or whatever. And like when they were away, mommy would play. And so I think it's super healthy. I think that definitely, though, I am like sort of a rare kind of bird in that aspect because I'm able to separate. I don't know. My husband says, "You're like a dude with sex. Like you're like the dude." And I'm just like,
I want to support you on actually not being the wrong person. I think you're actually the right person because what you're talking about, Kelly, is something that actually needs to be brought up front is, and this is what I was talking about earlier with the pleasure, is you prioritized you being taken care of and nourished. And sexuality
Absolutely.
Is nourishment. And
yep.
you didn't have any judgment on it. And
no.
I think the problem that happens, and this is what Ulysses was alluding to with
mm-hmm.
this question of, well, isn't there this moral thing? Yeah, a moral thing against nourishment of mothers. By the way,
yep.
they're a mother because they had sex with someone and they procreated.
Mm-hmm.
And that
right.
the... At most of the time when a child is born, that child is born of the love between two people. Sometimes
mm-hmm.
it's bad. It's other situation. But the love that most of the people had, and you were in love at the time where you had some caring about someone at a particular time, and that shit didn't fucking work out. So you're still a woman, and I don't want women listening to this show or women who might come across this information in some other kind of way to feel like that has to be put on hold until their kids are in college.
Mm-hmm,
it's
mm-hmm.
ridiculous.
And a lot of women do that. Yeah. A lot of women do that. Yeah. And they feel shameful. They feel bad. And a lot of it goes back to, you know, where I am here. Like I'm in the South, like the heart of fucking Georgia, and it's very religious and there's a lot of religion. And, you know, I have clients from all over the place and religion plays a big part in it, you know. And so because I'm not too familiar with religion, like I didn't grow up in a religious family, I don't identify as any in particular religion. I can't speak to that part of it, but I do know that it plays a big part in women feeling ashamed if they're not in a married relationship. Women become ashamed around their sexuality and being in a sexual relationship. Like it's kind of crazy to me. It's really crazy to me.
Yeah.
But it's really the
yeah.
fact of the matter.
Right. But I think
yeah.
it's more than religion. I think, you know, religion is one of the, one of the things that can be an influence, but also our peers sometimes, our parents, the way that we grow up, you know, the greater, the extended family, sometimes there are
society.
Lots and lots of things.
Don't forget
exactly.
Your child,
yeah. Yes. Yeah, that's right. And there's, yeah, society's a big one. And we just, it's hard to break away from the conditioning that all of that creates. And a friend of mine was just saying today that, you know, we get into this mindset and we don't understand that for someone to go from that deep level of conditioning to the freedom, the openness that we're talking about now on the other end of the spectrum, you don't just slowly move from one into the other. You've got to peel away and down. You've got to clean out that hard drive, get rid of all that operating system that you've been using based on that conditioning, and you've got to completely delete and get rid of all of that, and then you've got to upload the new software And that's a hard process. And for some of us, you know, going through something like this, we lose our jobs. Because, you know, something that we thought was making us happy, or we didn't see how we were, you know, living under the guise of conditionings that others were putting on us. And once our eyes start to opening to, you know, you get rid of the things that you feel should. You know, should is a big one. Where, you know, we think we should be married by a certain age. We think we should have kids by a certain age. We think we should, you know, have a certain job, drive a certain car. All these things prevent us from seeing the things that really make us happy. And once you start to see those things, whatever is holding you back, you're no longer happy with that. Those things have to go, and that's a painful process sometimes.
Mhm. Yeah. Letting go of everything that's heavy.
Yeah.
I want to speak for a moment to this
Please.
Piece about religion and our sort of standard, our puritanical standard. By the way, our scorecard in America, by the way, sucks. So compared to Europeans, even though we have this abstinence, you know, all this supposed sex education, our stifling of the information to teenagers, young people, children, it produces kids who are more likely to get pregnant. We have an 8 times teenage pregnancy rate. Our pregnancy rate is 8 times European, the European kids. So they know more about sex. They're 8 times less likely to get pregnant. Also, they start having sex 2 years later than our kids. So we get a big F for sex education in this country because the statistics really suck. So for the very things that we're trying – and by the way, there are rampant levels of STDs because people are having riskier sex in the South, specifically in the South, in their abstinence and like be good and I won't until. They're more likely to have anal sex and other kinds of sex so that they can keep their virginity, okay? They're doing all kinds of things.
Yeah.
So it's not like people are not having sex. You can't stop it. But what is shown is the more information the kids have, the more safe they're going to be. So the religion, by the way, sucks and it doesn't work. So the system is broken.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever, all the conditioning that David was talking about of like taking down, dismantling that programming and then reassessing some, you might as well, because what has been being used is not working, by the way. So it's not working.
No.
Let's just admit that, one.
That's
and
right.
Number two,
that's right.
What would be better? What would be better? Maybe you need to, as a society, we need to like have a conversation about, hey, this is not actually working. So maybe we are a little embarrassed or we blush a little bit, but what's worse is having all these kids who are actually pregnant, having all this rampant STDs that are going untreated, by the way, and spreading like wildfire. So facts and reality.
Treats.
That's why I don't go to church, Jazima. That's why I ain't been to church in a long time. Everything you just got to say, I'm
church.
Just saying. You know, nah, fit that. I ain't going to church for everything. I'm going to tell them everything you said is why I didn't come the last 20 years.
That's right. That's right.
And until they get their act together, I'm not coming back. Anyway.
You ain't.
Right. Hey, we are down to the last 90 seconds, and Kelly, you got to come back. Yeah, it's like that. And we this is just like the introduction. There's so much more to say. Kelly ain't said nothing about so many other things that she does, and some of us who are listening know. So, you know, we like, you got away with this one, but you ain't going to get away the next time.
I know. I have to get my feet wet.
That's all right. That's okay. You got a second chance. This was the warm up. We're gonna let you back on.
Yeah, this
you know when you're ready.
Okay.
This is the warm up. For people who are looking for you, tell them quickly, where can they find you? Where do they find Kelly?
Yeah, so I've been at Greenleaf Day Spa for almost 18 years, and so that part of my life is actually coming to an end. And I, you know, the whole reason I haven't gone 100% online is because of technology. I hate it. It's becoming my friend. I'm learning to say that. But my new site, kellyvandever.com, is going to launch very soon, within the next couple of weeks. People can definitely check out www.kellyvandever.com, and there is a welcome video there, a place for them to go ahead and opt in to my list to see when the site goes live. And then also they'll get a thank you video from me, and then an opportunity to join my community on Facebook. It's a private Facebook group just for women. And so, yeah, I look forward to seeing some of you on the other side over there.
Right on.
That's how people can find me right now, yeah.
And as always, Tazima, how do people find you, sister?
InfiniteRelating.com, and also on Facebook /Tazima, T-A-Z-I-M-A.
All right. And Brother David, people looking for Dave Freeman.
Yeah, you can find me and my web, the retreats and other fun things that I'm doing on Facebook at Be Well, Be Orgasmic.
Right on. And my name is Ulysses Butch Slaughter. I just get the honor of listening and taking notes about all kind of stuff I'm going to do as soon as I hang up. And I'm looking forward to talking to you all again real soon. Thank you, everyone who tuned in to Sex and the Struggle. We will be back next Tuesday night,
awesome.
Struggling with Sex. Kelly, thank you so much for joining us, love.
Thank you for having me, guys.
All right.
Thank you.
Look to talk to you soon. Good night, everyone.
Yes. Good night, guys.